Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What text number?
4
in chapter 28. Okay.
Ahimsa satyam asteya.
Yavadartha
parigraha. Brahmacharyam tapak shaucha. Swadhyayak purusharchanam. Ahimsa satyam asteya. Yavad artha parigraha. Brahmacharyam tapak shocham. Swadhyayak purusharchanam.
Ahimsa.
Non-violence.
Non-violence.
Satyam.
Satyam.
Truthfulness.
Truthfulness.
Asteya.
Asteya.
Refraining from theft.
Refraining from theft.
Yavat artha.
Yavat artha.
As much as necessary.
As much as necessary.
Parigraha.
Parigraha.
Possessing.
Brahmacharya.
Celibacy.
Tapaha.
Austerity.
Shaucham.
Cleanliness.
Swadhyaya.
Study of the Vedas.
Purusha Archanam.
Worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. One should practice non-violence and truthfulness, should avoid thieving, and be satisfied with possessing as much as he needs for his maintenance. He should abstain from sex life, perform austerity, be clean, study the Vedas, and worship the supreme form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport: the word Purusharchanam in this verse means worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially the form of Lord Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed by Arjuna that Krishna is the original Purusha, or Personality of Godhead. Purusham Shashvatam. Therefore, in yoga practice, one not only must concentrate his mind on the person of Krishna, but must also worship the form or deity of Krishna daily. A brahmachari practices celibacy, controlling his sex life. One cannot enjoy unrestricted sex life and practice yoga. This is rascaldom. So-called yogis advertise that one can go on enjoying as one likes and simultaneously become a yogi. But this is totally unauthorized. It is very clearly explained here that one must observe celibacy. Brahmacharyam means that one leads his life simply in relationship with Brahman, or in full Krishna consciousness. Those who are too addicted to sex life cannot observe the regulations which will lead them to Krishna consciousness. Sex life should be restricted to persons who are married. A person whose sex life is restricted in marriage is also called a brahmachari. The word asteyam is also very important for a yogi. Asteyam means to refrain from theft in the broader sense. Everyone who accumulates more than he needs is a thief. According to spiritual communism, one cannot possess more than he needs for his personal maintenance. That is the law of nature. Anyone who accumulates more money or more possessions than he needs is called a thief. And one who simply accumulates wealth without spending for sacrifice or for worship of the personality of Godhead is a great thief. Swadhyaya means reading the authorized Vedic scripture. Even if one is not Krishna conscious and is practicing the yoga system, he must read standard Vedic literature in order to understand. Performance of yoga alone is not sufficient. Narottam Das Thakur, a great devotee and acharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, says that all spiritual activity should be understood from three sources, namely saintly persons, standard scriptures, and the spiritual master. These three guides are very important for progress in spiritual life. The spiritual master prescribes standard literature for the prosecution of the yoga of devotional service. And he himself speaks only from scriptural reference. Therefore, reading standard scriptures is necessary for executing yoga. Jai Shri Gauri Tai. Practicing yoga without reading the standard literatures is simply a waste of time. Here, Lord Kapiladev is beginning his description. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram. He's beginning his description of the general yoga process. He's not specifying any particular form of yoga. This is generic. This is general principles. That any person who is aiming at spiritual disciplined life should follow. These are also found the same principles under the same names, ahimsa, asteyam, are found enunciated by the sage Patanjali in his Yoga Sutras. I think these are under the principles of niyama, secondary religious principles, if I'm right. Eight niyamas. Yama, niyama. So anybody who wants to be engaged in any of the forms of yoga discipline should adhere to these self-regulatory principles. Yoga Indriya Samyamaha. Most basic definition of yoga that covers all its forms and all the different kinds of practices. Yoga Indriya Samyama. Yoga is bringing the senses under control. Regulation of the senses. The Upanishads, Katha Upanishad and elsewhere, give a metaphor of the chariot of the mind. This living being is a driver of it, or is a passenger on a chariot. Krishna also alludes to this same metaphor in the Bhagavad Gita. Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Yantra Rudha. Sitting on a vehicle. The living entity is not the driver, because that is the intelligence. The living entity is not the vehicle itself, because that's the body. Living entity is simply happening to sit in this vehicle. He's a passenger. He's actually not a direct participant in the material interactions of the energies of Prakriti. Because he's not himself spirit material. Paropi Madhute anartam tatkritam chabi padyate. Actually, the living being is transcendental. He's a pure spiritual being. He has nothing to do with matter. But manote anartam, he identifies himself incorrectly with the combinations and manifestations of matter. And he suffers various unfortunate consequences because of this misidentification. But actually, he's just a passive witness. And the one metaphor that is given is a person sitting as a passenger in a chariot. He's depending on the driver to direct the chariot. The driver is his material intelligence. If the intelligence is properly functioning, then it keeps the mind and senses under control. If the intelligence is not in control, then the horses of the chariot, the senses including the mind, six horses, five senses and five and six, number six is the mind. Manakshastranindriyani. These are the active senses. They will pull the chariot, each in a different direction. Uncontrolled horses will each want to go in a different direction. Then the chariot is out of control and will get into an accident, into some collision or fall over, break. The living entity is in trouble when his intelligence is not properly functioning, is misfunctioning in a material way, and is allowing the mind and senses to go out of control. So, that is undisciplined life. That is materialistic life that leads to various kinds of catastrophe, misfortune in life, ignorance, confusion, conflict, suffering. Yoga discipline means to turn that around, to regain control of that chariot. For the soul, to bring the intelligence under control, and the intelligence to bring the mind and the senses under control. Samstabhyatmanam atmana tasma tvam indriyanyan ado niyamya bharatarshava. First of all, use your intelligence to subdue the mind, and the mind to subdue the senses, bringing things under proper control. This is the business of a yogi. Practicing yoga means practicing to regain control of one's own life, to take the reins back and keep the horses from running off in all different directions. So, following this general idea of yoga, Kapiladev is listing things that one should do, basic practices that every yogi should practice. Every yogi, no matter what his particular method and his particular goal is. Impersonalist yogis, Vaishnava yogis, have different goals, and their methods may differ, but the basic practices are common. Every yogi has to practice ahimsa, satyam, asteyam, yavad artha parigraha, brahmacharyam tapap, shaucham, svadhyaya, purusharchanam. Do we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? There are 9 functions listed in this verse, and this is just one of the several verses in a sequence. Nonviolence. Practically the first thing that must be done. When Prabhupada was preaching to Christians, he would not get into discussion of comparative theology. He would insist on one point and would not move on to any other discussion unless he was satisfied on that point. Why are you eating meat? Why are you engaged in violence against innocent creatures? And how can you justify that in the name of religion? If until that was answered, then Prabhupada had nothing to discuss with these people. One who is a killer of innocent creatures, or a killer of his own self, committing physical or spiritual suicide, cannot make any real progress on this on any spiritual path. Ka utama shloka gunanu vada puman viradyeta vina pashugnat. What human being? Animals we can excuse. They're less intelligent. They don't understand human language. They can't think like human beings. But someone is in a human body. Almost every human being, 6 billion human beings on this planet, almost every one of them speaks some language. There are different languages, but we can translate the Bhagavatam into all those languages. These ideas can be understood in any human language. Even this Borneo, they speak Pidgin English, which has a vocabulary of maybe 2,000 words. A few of Prabhupada's books have been translated into this language. It can be done. Any human being can understand, has the capacity, has the language and the other equipment to do it. Animals can understand, but any human being should be understand. So why would a human being who has the capacity to hear and understand, why would he fail to be attracted to hearing about Krishna and his pastimes? Ka utama shloka gunanu vadat puman virajyeta. What human being would fail to be attracted? Vina pashugnat. This is Pariksit's own judgment. Only excuse if he's pashugna, a killer of innocent animals. Pashu is innocent animal. Mriga is a wild animal. Lion is Migendra, king of the Mrigas. Forest, wild animals. You don't consider a lion innocent. He's king of the jungle. But Pashu is a domestic animal. A Pashu is dependent on the human master. Is subordinate. All the living entities are called Pashu. And Lord Mahadev Shiva is called Pashupati. Because there is dependent, helpless creatures. So one who kills Pashus, innocent, helpless, dependent creatures, he's so sinful because of that, that he cannot be attracted to hearing about Krishna. If a Kshatriya goes and kills a tiger in the forest, and that tiger is a dangerous predator, then that's not sinful to kill the tiger. But to kill an innocent, helpless creature, a rabbit or some helpless creature, that's sinful. And to kill animals just to get food to eat is very sinful. Therefore, the meat eaters cannot be expected to properly understand Krishna's pastimes. They cannot be yogis. You cannot be a yogi and be non-vegetarian at the same time. You cannot be violent. And violence has other ramifications. That's gross violence. Subtle violence could be even worse. If you are advocating the Mayavad philosophy, then you are doing worse violence. Because by being indoctrinated into the Mayavad misinterpretation of the Vedas, one is committing spiritual suicide. And the suicide is not only for one life, but for many lifetimes. You're killing yourself not once, but many times. Asurya namate loka undhina tamasavrita tam stepre chabi gachyanti ye ke chat mahano janaha. Isha Upanishad. Those who kill the self, Atmaha, Pashugna, they go to the darkest regions of ignorance, the darkest places of Tamoguna in the material universe. for many lifetimes, life after life. And the worst killers of the self are the Mayavadis. They're killing the soul and they're inducing other people to commit suicide also. Mass suicide, not just one person, but one person convincing many others, let's all commit suicide. Not once, but many times, over and over again. So this is very serious, Atma, or Pashugna. It disqualifies one from being a real yogi. These Ekadandis with the tilak like this, most of them are not real sadhus because they've disqualified themselves with this Mayavad philosophy. They are killing the self. And a killer of the self is committing ahimsa, and that is the first disqualification for yoga.